Good morning. Certainly glad that you are here today. We have several visitors and we're thankful for your presence. Hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. The one thing that our brethren like here is I am a preacher who preaches relatively short sermons. You will probably enjoy that too. I know that Ross is having his, I thought it was 85th birthday, but it's 84th birthday today. And I call him Ross Methuselah Miller. Yeah. All right. We're so thankful for all of our members and all of our visitors as well. And we're just grateful for your presence here. Guess I better get the clicker out. We're having all kinds of fun today, aren't we? Okay. There, it finally showed up. All right, good. You know, every summer, which it'll be here before long, we hear about tropical storms and hurricanes that occur. And every time I see a weather map during hurricane season, it seems that there are two or three or four storms brewing in the Atlantic. Some of those storms, as we have seen even this past year, were very destructive. But thankfully, most of them never hit land. The beautiful ocean can turn into a destructive ocean in a relatively short period of time. I read a story a couple of years ago about several young men. They were single men. They were co-owners of an old houseboat. And none of them knew anything about a boat. And they docked it in Miami. They learned that a hurricane was rapidly approaching the Florida coast. They went to a hardware store and they bought a large amount of rope. They tied the houseboat to some trees and to moorings and to anything that they could find that was remotely stable. They used so much rope that their boat looked like it was in a spider's web. And nearby, watching them with great curiosity, was a man named Phil. He was a seasoned veteran of hurricanes. And legend has it that he was born wearing a suntan and dock siders. It was also reported that once he had ridden out a hurricane for 3 days in a 10-foot sailboat. He was a sailing and boating legend. Well, Phil offered the landlubber some free advice. He said, "Tie her to land and you'll regret it. Those trees are going to get eaten by the cane. Your only hope is to anchor deep. Place four anchors in four different locations. Leave the rope slack and pray for the best." They followed his advice. And the only damage their household suffered was some rather severe rope burns from the tying it to the land originally. There is certainly something about anchoring deep. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 14, beginning verse 22, that's where we will begin our reading this morning. "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. They said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "You are certainly God's Son." Where is the Lord when the storms arise? I'm certain that you have heard about the calm before the storm. Just prior to these verses, things were going extremely well for Jesus and his disciples. After securing 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus fed a multitude of 5,000 men. So you can imagine, if there were women and if there were children, it was a huge number of people. There were 12 baskets of food that were left over. And then that was followed by a fierce storm on the Sea of Galilee. Quite often our lives are also like roller coaster rides. They are filled with many ups and downs. Things go well, and then maybe things go poorly for a while. When everything is going well, rocking along just as we planned, suddenly there is a pretty rough dip that nearly takes our breath away. Today's text indicates that Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him. The King James Version uses the word constrained. The indication to me is that they didn't really want to leave Jesus. They felt secure as long as he was physically present with them. And similarly, there are times when you and I feel a closeness to the Lord more than at other times. That does not mean the Lord is distant when we don't feel close to him. The Lord is always near. Why did Jesus send his disciples away? Well, it could have been because he needed the solitude of private time in prayer. And certainly there is something that we can learn from that. There are just times that we need to get away from all the rush of life and pray. It could have been because the disciples needed to have their faith tested. Faith is not a deep anchor until it has ridden out some of the storms of life. The disciples were in the boat for several hours. They were struggling with the strong winds and the high waves. They were about 3 miles from the shore, near the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And you can almost hear them saying, "We knew we should have stayed with Jesus. When he's not around, something bad always happens." The amazing thing is that Jesus knew exactly where they were. He knew that they were fighting the storm. And yet, he didn't rush to their rescue immediately. Yes, the Lord is near, even when he seems far away. The Lord was watching them. The Lord was protecting them. Does that mean that he didn't care about his disciples because he didn't go to them immediately? No, not at all. Did God not care when Abraham was offering Isaac as a sacrifice? Of course he did. Did God not care when he offered his only begotten son as a sacrificial lamb? We know that he cared. But he turned his eyes away, his face away, because he could not look upon sin. You know, you may remember a similar occasion when Jesus was on the boat with his disciples. And they awakened him during a storm and said, "Save us, Lord. We are perishing." Matthew chapter 8, verse 25. But the Lord loved them enough to allow them to grow in their faith. And I think that was precisely what he was doing on this occasion. Allowing his disciples to once again grow in their faith. And it seems to me when those valleys come in our lives that he's doing the same thing. Could our faith really grow if it was not challenged? Could our faith really grow if we did not have obstacles in the way? If we did not have temptations that Satan gives to us. But something marvelous occurred then. Between 3 and 6 a.m., the fourth watch of the night, Jesus walked on the stormy sea toward his disciples. Now think about that for a moment. Jesus was on the mountaintop. He was praying and did not begin to go to his disciples until 3 a.m. He must have been praying for a long time. And that certainly created a greater closeness between the Son and the Father. I wonder how many of us pray so diligently. They were in the middle of the sea, which was about 6 miles across, as I understand. And Jesus offered them the reassurance that they needed. He said, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Those are words that we need to hear often. Those are words that we need to memorize, to realize that in the most difficult of times, God is with us. And he says, "Be courageous. Don't be afraid." In fact, Jesus stilled the fear in Peter's heart so much that he asked the Lord's permission to walk out on the stormy seas. You know, sometimes we're pretty hard on Peter due to his impetuous nature. Some of you and I may be impetuous ourselves. But I think Peter should be really commended in this instance. None of the other 11 disciples had enough faith to even attempt or to walk to Jesus. And if you had been on that boat in the stormy seas, would you have had the courage that Peter did? You know, too often we are prone to criticize people. People who try and fail when we won't even try. But Peter was eager to try. And at first he was successful. And his success was dependent on his faith in the Lord and his willingness to keep his eyes focused on Jesus. Aren't those our great challenges as well? Do you have enough faith to let the Lord help you through your storms in this life? And do you keep focused on Jesus when the winds and the waves of your world are trying to distract you and keep you from looking to him? That's when he failed. It's when he looked away from Jesus. And that's when we fail, when we're not focused upon our Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, and beginning in verse 1, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Notice, fixing or focusing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, Peter did what we've done many times. He wasn't concentrating on the Lord. And it was his doubt that caused him to begin sinking into the ocean. But once again, we can observe the loving and compassionate nature of Jesus. As long as we reach out our hand to Jesus, even as in this picture, he will never let us down. He will gladly reach down and he will lift us up to safety. He will still the storms for us. And he will challenge us to quit doubting, to stop being afraid. And he will love us enough to let our faith grow by permitting us to battle other storms as well. As I said before, Jesus is always near. He's there unless we push him away. Jesus does not want to be at a distance with you or with me. He wants to be right there comforting us, caring about us, loving us, giving us courage. As long as you draw near to God, he will never be far away. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. James chapter 4 and verse 8. And that is dropping your anchor deeply. I hope and pray that there are some of you this morning who want to drop that anchor even more deeply than it is. If there's someone here today who wants to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we hope that you will take this opportunity, the great opportunity that God has provided for you today, and do that very thing. Be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If there's anyone here today that wants the prayers of your brothers and sisters who love you, then we invite you to come as well while we stand and while we sing.